Well, we're continuing to look at some of the blessings that are mentioned in Psalm 23. So if you've got your Bibles, and if you've been here over the weeks, you'll know that we've got to verse 5. And isn't it amazing? When God leads you to his word, you realize it is living and active. And there's so much in it that sometimes it's good just to spend the time, as we have been doing over the weeks, to unpack some of it. So we're going to do a bit more of that today. So hopefully I can just get this up on the screen. I think I will just, if I may, just pull this curtain to. So isn't it a blessing to have all this sunshine? It's wonderful. But sometimes we do need to control it, as we are doing now. And hopefully if things come up on the screen, it'll be a little bit more clear to you. That's lovely. Okay, so brilliant. There's not going to be sort of any videos today, but we're continuing with the theme of living in the goodness of God. And we're looking today at verse 5, which is living an anointed life. And you're saying, where'd you get that? Well, verse 5 says this: you anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows. So I have here some oil. This is oil that we bought 20 years ago when we came to this church. So it's vintage oil, all right? It's been prayed over, it's been blessed, it's been consecrated to the Lord. And you'll find that in Scripture that the oils that were used, actually, they had a little bit more than we have here, because they had added into them some spices and some aromatics, so that actually there was, as you went to the temple, you probably don't realize it, but it wasn't just people that were anointed with oil, it was actually the tabernacle too. And so when you went up to the temple or into the tabernacle, what you would find is there was a particular aroma to it. And sometimes you go into places and they smell old and musty and grotty. But the temple of God always had an aroma to it, which was, it spoke of holiness. It spoke of God. And so that's what we're talking about today. We're talking about an anointing that God gives to each one of us. And let me see whether I've got this up on the screen. Yes, there we go. So hopefully we'll be able to see some of this. You anoint my head with oil. Psalm 23, verse 5. What we probably don't know is that that was actually part of the role of being a shepherd. A good shepherd was always aware of the many dangers facing their sheep. And it wasn't always just their stupidity. It wasn't always dangerous cliffs and rocks. One particular danger that they had were some insects that, a bit like we get foot rot in our sheep in the UK because we get a lot of water. Well, in the Promised Land, or in the land where Jesus was, the sheep would get attacked by insects that would lay their eggs in their nostrils and their ears and their eyes. And when they used to hatch out, they used to, I won't go into the gory details, but basically they used to get inside and they used to cause such aggravation to the sheep that the sheep would often kill themselves banging their head against a rock. You know, a bit like our expression of banging your head against a brick wall. They would often kill themselves banging their heads trying to get rid of this irritation of these flipping insects that got inside them. So a good shepherd would mix up a concoction, basically of oil, of sulfur and tar, and a few other things as well, that they used to treat the sheep with to basically ward off these insects and to avoid the problem of the sheep getting these infections and these insects. It was an aspect of care for the sheep that the shepherd would anoint them. And actually, over the centuries, what happened was it became a symbolic picture of blessing and protection and empowerment by the shepherd that was then carried on into the whole aspect of the care of the nation, of God caring for his people. And if you know what being to be anointed means, it's all about this picture of how God cares for us, empowers us, and enables us not to get into those situations where we are just banging our head against a brick wall all the time. Isn't that nice to know that God loves to help us in every situation? That's why we're able to say God is good all the time. He sees the bits we don't even see. And so we read in the Old Testament about how people were anointed. Do you know what being anointed means? Well, I'm going to just quickly tell you about it today. Being anointed involved not only oil being poured on, but of course someone had to do it. So the picture was of people anointing others. And that's when someone prayerfully basically applies oil to the head or over the beard and the hair of the person. And the symbolic picture is that God is doing something special with you or with this person. And it's done as a sign, a bit like baptism is a sign of our salvation and how we go down into death and we're buried and raised with Christ. Oil is a sign of God's care and his blessing on people. And it's done as a sign by normally people who are regarded as godly people. And in the Bible, oil is often used as a symbol, time and time again, of God's approval, his presence, his blessing, his power, his comfort, his healing, of bringing joy, of favor, prosperity. You can picture all of those things, a bit like the shepherd anointing the sheep. God is on the case with his people. And in the Old Testament, we see that before God appointed his kings, his priests, and his prophets into their work, he always prompted his appointed representatives to come and anoint them. So the high priest would come and anoint the priests that were being appointed. You would have the prophet like Samuel coming and anointing the new king, etc., etc. And the anointing was always a sign not only to people around, but it was also a sign to the person concerned that God was doing this work in their lives. So one of the things that happened in my life before I was appointed here as a pastor was that I was anointed to this ministry of being a pastor in the church. And I was anointed by someone who was godly and had God's stamp of approval on their life. It was also a case, as I say, when kings were appointed. There was something that happened. They were anointed. And so we see in the picture of David and we see in the picture of Saul that they were anointed before they ever came to their kingship. But then there was the anointing not only on the outside by a person, but there was anointing on the inside by God. Something went on the inside, if you like, that matched what was going on the outside. And this was the work of God's Holy Spirit being poured into the person's life. And this was a gift on the inside that wasn't there before their anointing. And so, for instance, the person was typically given insight, ability, stamina, authority, protection, those sorts of things were part of the gift that God gave them when God's anointing of his Holy Spirit came on them. They were things that a person wouldn't normally have before they were anointed until God's Holy Spirit had come. And this was God giving us, or that person inside, what they needed so they might carry out their work for him. Jobs that God had chosen for them to do, they were then equipped to be able to do this work. And that's why in 1 Samuel 16, verse 13, it goes on to say after his anointing that from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. And David changed from being the meek shepherd boy to there being an authority and an equipping in him that enabled him not only to become the king, but also to go in through that period of time, right up until he was crowned king, dealing with all the problems that happened with Saul. That was an anointing that God gave him to see through that time. And typically in the Old Testament, only a few people were noticeably anointed, both inwardly and outwardly. Which is why we, in our Bibles, we think there's loads of stories, but actually there's only a few stories. I think it was John who said, if we wrote down everything that could be written about Jesus, there wouldn't be enough books to contain it. And I think if we wrote down everything that God did throughout the centuries before Jesus even, again, there wouldn't be enough books to contain it. And typically it was an infrequent thing to happen that people were anointed. It was given for only a few occupations. And typically it was given for kings, priests, prophets, judges, and warriors. But if you don't know, at Pentecost, something changed. And you'll see from Scripture that actually God ushered in a completely new age when it came from Pentecost onwards. And it's interesting today that Peter has started with Christmas, he's gone on to Easter, and now we're here at Pentecost, because this is the whole picture of the gospel today. At Pentecost, we see a demonstration of something most amazing. The development of this anointing by God massively enlarged so that all people are called to come and be anointed by God. And in Acts chapter 2 verses 3 and 4 we see this. What seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. That was some of the picture of what went on. And I don't know whether you can see the pictures there of the disciples and the tongues of fire that rested on them. The picture of the tongues of fire was a symbolic picture so that people could understand there was an anointing going on of these men and women at Pentecost. And what an anointing. And we read in Joel chapter 2 where this enlargement of the picture of God's anointing is spoken about, where it's sort of God pours it out into his words and he says about what is coming, and he says, and afterwards I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Not just the prophets, but your sons and daughters. Your families. You'll find prophecy breaking out amongst your families because of what I'm going to do. Your old men will dream dreams. Those who can't get out of bed in the morning because they're so aching and paining will have dreams in their mind that they can share with others and bless them with. Your young men will see visions. Do you know, it was only the prophets. Do you remember Samuel and Elijah and those others? They were the only ones who we know in the Old Testament saw these visions. And yet here is this picture that come Pentecost onwards, even young men, even old men, even your sons and daughters, your whole families, this is going to break out all over, the anointing of God. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. If we haven't grasped this about what God has done through the ages, what you see is suddenly what is just a small picture in the Old Testament suddenly becomes this worldwide. Every people, every situation, every circumstance, God is at work. And that's why we talk about God is good all the time. In every situation and in every circumstance, God is good. And it's not limited. It's not like sort of trying to drain, you know, water through a tiny little gap. What God is doing with his pouring out of his spirit, which was paid for by Jesus Christ, is that it is an abundant outpouring. And we read this in 2 Corinthians where it talks to us and it says, and God is able to make all grace abound to you. All grace. And the picture there of grace is this picture of everything that God has. God's riches at Christ's expense. Guess what? He's making it abound for you in all circumstances. So that in all things, at all times, having all you need, you will not just have a little bit, but you will abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered his abroad his gifts to the poor. It's not just the rich, it's not just the famous, but it's everyone, from the lowliest to the highest. God is pouring out his blessings. He scatters abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. I think it's just a wonderful picture of what God was doing at Pentecost and what he is continuing to do. Because if you don't realize this, Pentecost was the first day of the age to come. And we live in that age. The age of God's Spirit being poured out on all flesh for all circumstances, that we too, like those appointed prophets of old, might have something within us that is able to do far more than we think. The trouble is that sometimes when we face situations, we often think that actually, well, some things are important and other things aren't. Believe me, I used to think that about finding a car parking space. I used to think, I can't pray to God for a car parking space. But you know, when you're on a mission for God and you know that you need to be there at a certain time and things just frustrate you and get in the way, because that's what Satan loves to do, believe me, it's well in order to pray for a parking space. And you know, God loves just equipping his saints when they need it. And that's just a silly example. But in everything, God wants his grace, his riches to abound in our circumstances. And the reason is because we have works that God has appointed to us too. And just like the priests and the prophets were appointed to their roles in the Old Testament, so we are appointed to our roles in the New Testament. God has planned in advance not just a few people's lives, but he's planned for us to have a life that is so fruitful and so powerfully at work for God that we can make a massive impact on our generation, just like the prophets and the priests and the men of God did in the Old Testament. Which is why in Ephesians chapter 2, it reminds us, we, because of Jesus, you know, his scripture says we're no longer our own, we were bought at a price. When Jesus did that, we became God's workmanship, his treasured possession. And what happened is we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And just like Elijah had work that God wanted him to do, so God anointed him. Just like David had work that God wanted him to do, so he anointed him. Just like all of the prophets of old had work for God to do, so do you and I. Every one of us have works that God has prepared for us to do. But here's a fact that not everyone understands, which we need to underline today, and that fact is that unless we're anointed, the works of God that he calls us to do, we will never be able to do. You see, David could never have been the king without his anointing. Elijah could never have been the prophet without God's anointing. Joshua could never have been that courageous leader of his people without God's anointing. You see, because God calls us to works that are not just limited to human ability, but always require godly anointing and ability. Which is why our anointing is so special. We read in Zechariah chapter 4 of Zerubbabel, and his calling was to see the rebuilding of the temple. And God said to him, know this, I've called you to this work, but don't do it on your own. This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Do it not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And I believe every one of us need to hear that today. We know God has called us. We know God has given us things to do. We know that there's a calling, for instance, for each one of us to be witnesses to the King of Kings. But do we know that to do it, we need God's anointing, his Holy Spirit within us? Because if we don't, we will always fall flat on our faces. How do I know this? Because I look at Jesus and I think, wow, Jesus is wonderful. But what did Jesus say about himself? Listen to this. I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing by himself. Now here's the truth. If Jesus knew that he was unable to do what God had called him without the anointing of God's Spirit, how much more should you and I? And here's a truth or a fact that we need to understand. Here's some facts, a few, just not everything completely, but here's just a few facts. And here's the first one I want to point there. I want to point to for us today. When God appoints us, he also expects to anoint us as well. Why do I say he also expects to anoint us as well? Because the truth is, actually, anointing needs to be received. When Jesus talked to the disciples, he didn't go, there, have it, that's it, you've got to put up with it. Jesus said, receive the Holy Spirit. And the truth is that just like King David had to receive that anointing. And believe me, you know, actually getting anointed, having oil poured over your head, so it runs through your hair and down your beard and all over your clothes, is actually not the most comfortable of situations. I know that from first-hand experience. You feel like you want to wash afterwards. Somehow or other, it gets in everything. It clings to you. And, you know, if it's not a very wonderful smelling oil, this one is. It's okay. It's olive oil, pure olive oil. But if it doesn't smell wonderful, you think, oh, why that? And for the people who were anointed in the Old Testament, it had a smell of holiness about it. And if you've ever been into hospital, you know the smell of hospitals, don't you? Maybe not so much today, but there's a smell about hospitals, isn't there? Maybe some people who wanted to go down the pub all week long didn't want to necessarily carry the smell of holiness with them, the smell of the temple. You know, you can imagine them turning around to you a bit like when they turned around to Peter and said, you were with Jesus. Maybe, you know, with them, they probably had seen him with Jesus. But imagine going into the pub and they're saying, oh, you smell of the temple. You smell of holiness. What are you doing here? You wouldn't necessarily invite it, would you? But the fact is, we need to receive that anointing. That's why the Christian faith and being a follower of God takes choice. But the truth is that when we do receive it and when we accept it, we are people who will always have that blessing that comes through it. Acts chapter 1, when Jesus spoke to his disciples, he said, you will receive my power when my Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. And I believe the disciples in Acts chapter 1 had that choice. They could have just walked away from all this that Jesus was calling them to. But like us, I know they knew that who else could we go to? Who else has the words of eternal life? And we have to choose to receive that the anointing that we need. And sometimes maybe people say, well, I'm not sure whether God will give it to me. Well, listen to this verse in 1 Thessalonians. The one who calls you is faithful. He will do it. That's why in Joel chapter 2, it says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. This is not an if, maybe, but a promise of God. If we engage, if we receive that anointing, God will do it. And God expects us to receive his anointing so that our lives can be equipped, so that they can be beyond just normal. They can be godly lives. Because as you all know, being godly is not the easiest of things to do. And anointing requires accepting as well as giving. Another fact about anointing is it makes us better people. I love what it says in these verses. In 1 Samuel 10, it says, then Samuel took oil and poured it on Saul's head and said, God has anointed you to be leaders of his people. God's Spirit will come on you in power and you'll speak like a prophet. You'll be changed into a different person. And after this happens, do whatever you think is best because God will be with you. And what you see there is a change of his mouth. You see a change of his heart. But you also see a change of his head as well, his thinking. That's why God goes on to say, after this, do whatever you think is best. Because God works in all aspects of our lives. in our hearts, in our mouths, and even in our thinking. Praise God. Which is why we are blessed. It makes us better people. Anointing changes our lives. It changes our ability to act, our ability to think, our confidence, our competence, our calmness, our wisdom, our power, and our ability to fulfill God's calling. Here's another fact. God's anointing makes difficult tasks easier. Did you know that? If you think life is hard, believe me, the thing you need to call out to God for is, God, will you anoint me to do these tasks for you? Ephesians 3 verse 16 says this, "For from his unlimited resources, God will give you mighty inner strength through his Holy Spirit." Do you want some of that? I do. I must admit, I love it. I love the way the Apostle Paul said. He says, this is, he was anointed, there's no doubt about it. He says, I can do everything with the help of Christ who gives me the strength I need. Philippians 4 verse 13 in the Amplified Version puts it like this, which opens up, I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything, equal to anything, through him who infuses inner strength into me. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. Do you want some of that? I do. That's what anointing's all about. And God's anointing also, we need to understand, makes the impossible possible. Look at this. Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. And when that anointing is on our lives, when God's Holy Spirit is within us, all things become possible. So that banging your head against a brick wall, guess what? It can stop when you are anointed for those tasks and those roles that God calls you to. And why? It's because Ephesians 3 verse 20 puts the picture in context. It says, God's power at work within us is able to accomplish infinitely more than we could ever dare to ask or even imagine. The power that God puts within us is such a power, such an anointing, that actually even the impossible becomes possible. And I'm sure that's a blessing to most of you, particularly to mums and dads who have to look after children who give you sleep this night. You think, how can I ever possibly sleep through this? But God can make even that possible. Another fact about the anointing is that God anoints us always to bless others. Yes, it's a blessing to us because we see the results of it, but it's always to bless others. And in the process of blessing others, we get blessed ourselves. Looking at Jesus with his calling, and when he started his ministry, he quoted these words and said, this is fulfilled today. Isaiah 61 verse 1 to 3. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, and he's anointed me, that's Jesus speaking, to bring good news to the suffering and afflicted. He sent me to comfort the brokenhearted, to announce freedom to the captives, and to open the eyes of the blind. He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of God's favor to them has come, and to tell all who mourn that God will give beauty for ashes, joy instead of mourning, and praise instead of heaviness. Jesus quotes all those problems, the suffering, the affliction, the heartbreak, the captivity, the blindness, the mourning. And then he talks about the gifts that come through the anointing of God, the good news, the comfort, the release, the sight, the beauty, the joy, the praise, the lifting of the heaviness from us. Yes, Jesus knew that anointing, and we do too. And we read in Acts chapter 10, when the disciples spoke of Jesus, they said, God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit's power, and he went around doing good and healing people who were beaten down by the devil. If you feel beaten down by the devil today, guess what? You need a fresh anointing of God. That's what Jesus came to bring, and what he still promises today. And the truth is that every day we need a fresh anointing. We can lose that anointing through neglect, through not spending time with God. Just tell me, what does it feel like when you don't have quiet times with God? Guess what? Your sense of closeness to God just disappears. It's a bit like taking a coal out of a fire. Suddenly it starts to get cold when it's on its own. When we neglect our time with God, guess what? That anointing can be lost, can't it? Doesn't mean the Holy Spirit's departed from you, but it means the gifts of the anointing of the Holy Spirit just gets so thin that it's no longer there in your life. But we can also lose it when we rely on stale anointing. The Old Testament manna is the picture of how they had to collect it every day fresh, didn't they? Apart from the Sabbath, when they were able to collect two the day before and God made it last. But basically, we've got to collect it fresh every day. We've got to go to God and say, Lord, will you anoint me for this day? Will you come, Holy Spirit? Will you fill me? Will you give me all the equipping I need today? And that's why Jesus was a regular in worship and at the temple, in the synagogues, and also you see regularly he was up on mountaintops with God, hearing fresh from him, so that he had a fresh anointing for the day. And if you look at the picture of Israel when they went into the promised land, they only won when they had the fresh vision for the fresh battle. If they tried to use yesterday's vision for yesterday's battle, they always lost. Fresh anointing, essential. We can also lose our anointing too through something called sinful living. Now, I don't know whether you can see that picture. That's the picture of something that happened in Swansea when a double-decker bus tried to go under a single-height bridge. Do you remember it? Only a few months ago. That bus wasn't designed to go that way. And guess what? It lost its top deck. A graphic picture of what happens when we try and walk in sinful ways. Guess what? It's like we go under that bridge and the anointing disappears. That's what happens. We lose that gifting that God has given us when we try and walk in the ways of sin. So how do we get that fresh anointing? We've already talked about it, by having a daily, heart-receptive time with God for God's direction. That's why Hosea, in Hosea chapter 10, said this, "Sow new seeds of righteousness, and you'll reap fruit of my love. And break up your hardened ground. It's time to turn to seek me and seek the Lord. Then I'll come and shower new blessings on you." The breaking up of the hard ground was a picture of saying, I want you, God. I'm going to plow this up so that as you pour out the rain, I'm going to receive it here and now. And God's promise is, I will come and shower new blessings on you. And in James chapter 4, verse 2, we get the clues as to why sometimes we don't have that anointing. God says it. You don't have because you don't ask. He wants to see in us that desire for that anointing in our lives. And if you think that God won't give it to us, well, the Lord loves to give generously. He loves to give us his favor and his honor. But it goes on to say, no good thing will he withhold from those who live right. That's that picture of sin, how it gets in the way of God's blessing. That's why we have to make that choice within us to live rightly before God. And Jesus said it here. He said, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Guess what? The anointing is there for us, just for the asking. Yes, for the choosing to live rightly, but for the asking too. For the receiving and the welcoming when God gives it. I love this quote by C.T. Studd. It says this, only what's done for Christ will last. And the truth is that if we want to see an eternal difference in our lives and in our world around us, it's only the things that are done for Christ will make that difference. And because we need that anointing, it's only when we receive that anointing will we see things that will last happen in our lives. So I'm not going to go into any more depth on this today, only to say that if anyone would like to receive prayer and anointing, after the service, I'm going to make that option available, and I've asked one or two of the leaders if they would come, and we'd love to pray for you. We'd be happy to pray for whether it be healing, because Scripture talks about how the anointing of healing is available to us as the people of God. Scripture says that if you are sick, ask your church leaders to pray for you and anoint you with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer that is offered in faith will bring healing, and the Lord will restore your health. So if you need healing today, well, we're not going to do anything miraculous ourselves. We're just going to say, in faith, we're going to do what God asks us, and God will fulfill his word by honoring your steps on that. But your prayer today may not be just for healing. The other things that that anointing today, I believe God wants to be made available to you, is, or available to us, is if we've got things in our lives where we just feel we're stuck on them. We want to get ahead and do these things for Christ, but somehow every day it just feels like things are impossible rather than possible. Well, I believe God wants to release every one of us from the impossible into the impossible. And to do that, by us receiving an anointing for God. So for everyone here today, let me also finish by saying, it's not just the leaders that God wants to see obeying him in receiving his anointing, so his blessing can flow. It's every one of us. And if you're in doubt, if you're in that place where you think, I'm just not sure that I've got that extra something I need for working and doing things for God, then just in faith, do what Scripture says and come and receive that outward anointing so that inwardly God can do that work for you. And that is going to be available too as we finish together. All we need, Scripture tells us, is his oil, our faith, and our willingness to receive. And I believe today that God has said, it's right for us to do this. An outward sign to help an inward work. So, as James would say in his gospel, we're going to do this in faith. And my simple faith is just going to say, I'm going to stand at the front when we start to sing our hymn to finish. And if you want to come and be prayed for and to receive an anointing, we're going to do it. The rest is up to God. And I love what Scripture says. It says this: the anointing you receive from God, from Christ, will live in you. And I believe that today. I believe every one of us will see something living and active in our lives if we respond to him today. If you feel embarrassed about that possibility of coming to the front and being anointed, don't be. Because Scripture also goes on to say, and pray for each other so that you will be healed. So if you feel you can't do that today, don't worry. You can just find someone else that you trust and that you love and you know that will care for you. And you can say, would you pray for me? If someone wants to borrow some oil, that's no problem. If you just want to pray for one another, do that too. But I believe today God wants to make a change in our lives together so that God can fulfill his word. Let's just pray together. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you today that from your word we can see that you are the God who's willing and loves to pour out his blessing on his people. If you know how to give good gifts, how much more will your Heavenly Father send the Holy Spirit? And Lord, today in simple faith, we're just going to respond to that word and say, Lord, for some of us we need that anointing today, so we're going to come and we're going to ask in faith and believe, Lord, that you will meet that need. In Jesus' name, amen. Can I just...